Well, now as we worship our God together, inside your bulletin is the call to worship from Psalm 135, the first two verses. So I would ask that you stand with me and let us recite these verses together, in which we do call one another to worship and give our God praise this morning. Together, church, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord. Now take your copies of God's Word and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, in our study of the book of Romans, we find ourselves this morning in Romans 10, beginning at verse 14. And we'll read down through the end of this chapter. Romans 10, verse 14. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their word to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses said, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And we will stop our reading there. There was a young man around 15 years old who experienced deep conviction over his sin. His mind had come to understand that he was a sinner. And he felt very deeply the conviction of that sin and the wrath of God upon him because of that sin. Some years later, that young man would write these words, I had rather pass through 7 years of the most anguishing sickness then I would ever again pass through the terrible discovery of the evil of sin. I would rather pass through 7 years of sickness than go through those years of conviction because of the evil of sin. That young man sought relief from his burden. And it was in December of 1849, a day in which a snowstorm had hit his area, and he was making his way to a certain place of worship. But because of the snowstorm, he was unable to make it to that place of worship. And so he turned down a side street and found himself at a Primitive Methodist Church. He walked into that church and he sat down underneath the gallery. He looked up and he noticed within the church only about 12 or 15 people. It was such a snowy day that the minister was unable to get to the church. And finally, a man gets up. He was thought to be a tailor or perhaps a shoe repairman. But he gets up on that morning in light of the absence of this preacher, and he began a sermon. In his sermon, he says, "My text this morning is these words. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." The preacher went on to say something like this. "This is a simple text indeed. It says, look. Now, looking don't take a great deal of pain. It ain't lifting your foot. It ain't lifting your finger. It is just look." Well, the man went on to say something like this. "The biggest fool can look. Man doesn't need to be worth a lot of money to look. Anybody can look. Even a child can look." But he says, the text goes on and says, "Look unto me." "Ah," he said, "many of you are looking to yourselves, but that's no place to look. You'll never find comfort there. The text says, look to Christ." The young man, when he told the story, said that tailor or shoemaker went on for about 10 more minutes, saying everything he could think of about looking and looking to Christ. But finally, that shoemaker looked in the gallery and saw the young man. And seeing the young man in the gallery, he says to him, "Young man, you look miserable. And you will always look miserable. Miserable in life, miserable in death, if you don't obey this text. But if you obey it, young man, the moment you do, you will be saved. Young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but look and live." That young man saw at once the way of salvation. And so he looked to Christ. There and then the cloud was gone. The darkness was rolled away. At that moment he saw the sun. At that moment he was able to sing with enthusiasm about the precious blood of Jesus Christ and of simple faith of looking to Him. That young man, some of you already know, was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Mr. Spurgeon came to faith in Christ hearing a man that he would later describe as a man who was a very weak preacher. He wasn't very eloquent. He simply said, "Look to Christ." And Spurgeon heard that word, "Look to Christ," and was saved. As far as I know, we do not know the name of that man who filled the pulpit that day. He was a shoemaker. He probably showed up to church that day not knowing that he would have the responsibility of opening the Word of God. The preacher didn't show up. So he came to the pulpit and he said, "Look. Look to Christ." And Mr. Spurgeon came to faith. Last week we ended with this note, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The free offer of the gospel for every man, Jew and Gentile, male or female, rich or poor, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you might recall that Paul is burdened over the fact that many of his fellow countrymen would not bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Most of his fellow countrymen would not believe in Christ. And so over and over and over again, the Apostle Paul sets the gospel before them. The Apostle Paul tells them that they're never going to achieve a righteousness by themselves, but they must receive God's righteousness, which is found in Jesus Christ. And while many Gentiles were hearing that message and coming to Christ, many of his countrymen were not, and therefore remained lost and under the wrath of God. But Paul wants us to know that he's going to continue to give the gospel. Remember at the very beginning of our study, back in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And now Paul's demonstrating that reality as he's sharing this gospel over and over again. So someone may ask, "Paul, why do you continue to give out that gospel?" And Paul's going to explain to us why he does that. But then someone else may say to him, "But Paul, why is it that many of your fellow Jews are not believing?" And Paul's going to explain that to us as well in this text. So here in the text that I have read in your hearing, Paul gives us two words of explanation. The first word of explanation is the coming to faith. He explains how a man truly comes to faith in Christ. He just said, whoever calls upon his name will be saved. Well, how is it that a man is brought to call upon the name of the Lord? How is it that a man comes to faith? And Paul's going to explain that by setting before us four rhetorical questions. He's going to give us the chain links of the gospel that must come about if a man or a woman is going to come to faith in Christ. And so he asked these four questions. Question one, How will they call on one that they have not believed? If anyone is going to call upon the name of the Lord, it assumes that that one has believed the gospel. That that one has believed in Christ. If one is going to call on the name of the Lord, he must first understand that he is lost, that he is under the wrath of God, and that Jesus Christ alone is the way in which a man can have forgiveness of sin. If you're not convinced that Christ is the only way, you'll never call upon Him. If you think there's another way to heaven, you will never call upon Christ. So how will they call on Him if they have not believed? Question one. Question two. How will they believe in Him if they've never heard? How will they ever come to understand who Jesus Christ is unless someone tells them about Christ? How will they ever come to embrace the gospel if they've never heard the gospel? You see, the revelation of nature tells us that there is a God. Every person knows there's a God. There may be some who claim to be atheists, but they're denying a reality that they know is true. They know there's a God. Every man knows there's a God. But what natural revelation does not tell us is that we have sinned against this God. That we have all transgressed against His law. That we all stand guilty before this God. And the only way to find relief from that guilt, the only way to know forgiveness of sin, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And for men to come to understand that reality, Christ must be set before them. They must hear the gospel. They'll never believe the gospel unless they hear the gospel. And so he asks the question, how will they believe if they have never heard? That leads to the third question. How will they hear without a preacher? And that word preacher there is the word that means herald. Someone who proclaims the truth. It's just not someone who's been ordained and recognized by a congregation and receives the title of pastor. But it's someone who knows the good news and proclaims that news to others. How will they hear unless someone opens their mouth and proclaims that truth? In biblical times, my brother Cliff mentioned that the Apostle Paul didn't have an email and he'd send and stay in communication with everybody. And in the old days, you couldn't turn on your TV and turn over to Fox News or CNN or whatever you might watch and have some alert and find out already that yesterday a plane in San Francisco crashed and two people have died. I found that out instantly by turning on my TV and hearing the news. They didn't have that luxury. Whenever there was a news flash, someone would have to go to the town square. And I don't know that they'd say this, but maybe they would say, "Hey, I've got a Fox News alert. And here's the news." He would be the herald, the proclaimer. All right? That's what's referred to here. We have a message. It is a message that needs to be heard. But if it's going to be heard, there needs to be a herald proclaiming that message. How will they hear without a preacher? And the fourth question is this: how will they preach unless they be sent? How will they preach unless they are commissioned, sent out? Now, perhaps the Apostle Paul has in mind the apostles of the church who were sent out. But there's also the need for those just to go out to proclaim, to be messengers. He quotes here Isaiah 52 and verse 7 when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. It's a wonderful thing when a man will proclaim the good news that people need to hear. I remember when I was in college, and one of the courses I took was Romans. And I believe my professor's name was Dr. Smith. Charles Smith, I think, taught that class. But the thing I remember when we came to this passage on that particular day, we're sitting in class. Dr. Smith was a very dignified man, a proper professor in every way. I remember he had gray hair that was very nicely combed, every hair in place. But I remember on this occasion, Dr. Smith taking his shoes off and sticking up his foot, his bare foot. And he says, "Aren't they beautiful?" Well, to be honest, I wasn't all that taken up with him. But his point was this: as one who has the privilege of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, these feet are beautiful, for they carry the message of the gospel to others. To others. So Paul is stating here how a man comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a preacher who has been sent. That preacher declares the message. The message is heard. When the message is heard, the person believes. And believing these realities found in the gospel, he calls upon the name of the Lord. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, as John Stott mentions in his commentary, the relentless logic of Paul's case for evangelism is felt more forcefully when the stages are stated negatively, and each is seen to be essential to the next. Unless some people are commissioned for the task, there is no gospel preacher. And unless the gospel is preached to sinners, unless the gospel is preached, sinners will not hear Christ's message and voice. And unless they hear Him, they will not believe the truth of His death and resurrection. And unless they believe these truths, they will not call on Him. And unless they call in His name, they will not be saved. You see the links in the chain by which God uses to bring sinners unto Himself. This is God's ordinary way of bringing salvation to us. This is how God brings the truth to us. We send people out. They declare the voice of God. Hearing God's truth, people believe. And believing, they call, and calling, they are saved. Listen, here's a question. What are your feet doing? What are our feet doing? Are we proclaiming this gospel? The only way men will be saved is to hear this gospel. And how we ought to be praying that God would open up many doors for us to proclaim the gospel. Listen, you have an unsaved loved one? Your feet should be used to go to them and to share with them the truth of the gospel. You may say, well, I just don't know what to say. I'm just not very eloquent. I'm just not very polished. I've never gone to seminary. I've never had any homiletic classes. Listen, one man stood in the pulpit and simply said, "Look unto Christ." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was converted. The gospel message is a clear message. Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. My hope is built on nothing less than that reality. And if you're ever going to know forgiveness of sin, if you're ever going to be accepted by God, it's only going to come through trusting in Jesus Christ. Isn't that how you were converted? Share with others that reality, that truth, that upon hearing it, they might believe, they might see their sin, and seeing their sin, they might call upon God, and calling upon God, they will be saved. That's our duty. I trust it's our delightful duty, but we must proclaim this gospel. Well, someone may say, well, what about your fellow countrymen? Hey, Paul, what about the Jews? They've not believed. They've not called upon the name of the Lord. What's up with that? Well, now Paul, secondly, gives an explanation of Israel's condition. He gives an explanation of Israel's condition. Notice verse 16. He sums it up. However, they did not all heed the good news. They did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, "Who has believed our report?" Listen, they have not embraced the gospel. Their problem is they are stubborn people and they will not believe. But it's not surprising, for even Isaiah says, who's going to believe this report? Four. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Paul says, but this much I do know. If they're ever going to come to faith, it's going to come because of the gospel. It's going to come because we're going to give them the word. Though they will not listen. Listen. You're never on a fool's errand when you're proclaiming the word of God. God will use His Word. Why is preaching the Word of God central in this place? Why is the preaching of God's Word of utmost importance in this place? Is it because it draws in thousands? We're just going to preach the Word of God and watch them flock in to hear it. Well, just take a moment, look around. I think if you're determined to preach the Word of God, it's not going to draw in thousands. But it's the one method that God has promised to bless. So may God help us to continue to preach the Word of God. It's what this generation needs to hear. They don't need to have their ears tickled. They don't need to be entertained. There's enough entertainment. They need to hear the Word of God. And it is my prayer that long after I'm off the scene, long after I'm gone, that in this place, the Word of God will continue to be central, because God promises to bless His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And don't you ever grow weary of hearing God's Word. But may God help us. Listen, I know. Not too long ago, we were described as extremists. And I scratch my head, why are we extremists? And the reason the accusation came is those people over at Reformed Baptist are extremists. The reason we're extremists was this: because they preach only the Word of God. Well, if that makes us extremists, put on the sign outside. May we continue to preach God's Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, Paul gives two false explanations concerning Israel. Two false explanations. First of all, he says there in verse 18, "But I say, surely they have never heard, have they?" Is the problem with the Jews that they've never heard the Word of God? Is that the problem? No. Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Paul says, listen, it's not that the Jews haven't heard the Word of God. They've heard it. And he quotes Psalm 19 and verse 4. Paul says, eventually, the same thing in Colossians 1 and verse 23, where he talks about the gospel was preached to every creature under the sun. They've heard the gospel. The problem wasn't that they didn't hear the gospel. They've heard the gospel. Paul's given the gospel over and over again. Last week we said, you know, we're probably at the point where we say, here we go again. He's going to give them the gospel. They've heard it. They've heard it. They can't blame their unbelief on the reality that they haven't heard, because they've heard. Problem is, they would not listen. They would not listen. This morning I came across, look over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Psalm 81 and verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you would listen to me, let there be no strange gods among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." But notice, "But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. And so I gave them over to stubbornness of heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." They would not Listen, it wasn't that they didn't hear, but they would not listen. They heard, but they would not believe. And here in Psalm 81, our Lord pleads with them, listen, listen to me, listen. But they would not. So I gave them over to their own stubbornness. I let them go. For they would not listen. Well, go back to Romans chapter 10. And here we see another false explanation. And the other false explanation comes to us in verse 19. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? Israel didn't understand. They didn't know. Did they? And Paul says, yes, they understood, but they would not come. They would not obey. They would not believe. And this isn't something new. Listen, it's not that God now has to come up with another plan. He had this plan for the Jews, but the Jews wouldn't believe. So now He's got to come up with another plan. God knew this from way back. God knew this reality from way back. And so He quotes Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. But I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you. Oh, here, Jews, you have the privilege. You have the privilege of being called my people. You have the privilege of having the law of God, and yet you would not believe. So what will I do? I will bring in a people who are not a nation, referring to the Gentiles. And they're going to anger you because the Gentiles are going to believe. And you won't. You've been given privileges. You've heard the truth. You understand the truth. But you will not believe. So I will bring this word to a people that aren't even seeking me. My word will come to a people that aren't even seeking me. And isn't that the way that God found many of us? We weren't necessarily all going around trying to find God. But one day God broke into our hearts and He found us. He found, we weren't seeking Him. He found us. And He brought His word to our hearts. And we were brought to understand that we're sinners. And we fled to Christ Jesus. Listen, thought it was interesting. You know, the buzzword this time is, we want to be a seeker-friendly church. You ever hear that terminology? We want to be a seeker-friendly church. Usually that means, you know what? We're going to do away with the Word of God, and we'll become more entertaining, more amusing, and we're going to pay big bucks to have somebody come up and make sure we've got a wonderful youth program. I mean, we want to have a great youth program, and we're going to pay big bucks and make sure that we have the most talented musicians that could ever imagine, so that we can have great musicians on the stage playing all their instruments. And you know what? We'll pay big bucks and have someone design sets so that every week it's a different set on the stage. So people will be amazed. They'll say, "Wow, look at that! Wow, I've never seen anything like that." Right? And that's described as being seeker friendly. Let me say this. Those who are truly seeking don't need to be entertained. They don't need to be amused. They need the Word of God. They need God's Word. For no one seeks God who at first hasn't been enlightened to the reality that they're a sinner who needs a Savior. And where do we find the Savior? Do we find the Savior in a wonderful youth program? Do we find the Savior in talented musicians? Do we find the Savior in backdrops that amaze you? Do we find the Savior in some other gimmick to bring people into the church? No, we find the Savior in the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a youth program, You're of the devil. Listen, if someone wants to come along and work with our young people, well and good. And I'm not saying if you're a talented musician, you're of the devil. If someone is talented in playing music, well and good. And I'm not saying that you're of the devil if you have some fancy lighting and a stage that's amazing. But oftentimes, those things become priority and the Word of God is set aside. And I'm saying what we need is the preaching of the Word of God. That's what's needed. That's what our society needs. That's what our country needs. We don't need any more weak preachers who preach very weak Word of God. We need bold preachers who proclaim the whole counsel of God. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God takes His Word. Even this morning, God could be dealing with someone who's sitting here saying, I just came because my mom or dad made me came. But the Word of God is having a bearing upon you. You're recognizing, you may have sat in this place for years, but now your mind is being enlightened to the fact that you are a sinner and you do need a Savior. And Christ is the only Savior. And even right now, sitting there where you are, you recognize, you know what? If I just call upon the name of the Lord, I can be saved. And so, even right now, without an altar card call, without signing a decision card, without any of those gimmickries, you can receive Christ by calling on Him. Which you never would have done if the Word of God was not preached. It's not that they didn't understand. They understood. But they would not believe. And some of you that sit here, it's not that you haven't heard. It's not that you don't understand. But you won't believe. You won't believe. And you may have been in a church for many, many years. You may have been a leader in the church for many, many years. Your name might be on a charter membership list someplace. But you're still outside of Christ. Paul says your greatest need is to come to Christ. And that's why we need to preach the gospel, so that you will see and flee to Christ. So Paul's saying, it's not that you haven't heard, it's not that you haven't understood, but you haven't believed. I'm going to continue to give the gospel to you that you might believe. God says, I found those who did not seek me and became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But He says of Israel, what sad words, verse 21. He says to Israel, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God says, I'm like that parent who want to see you come home. And my arms are open. My outstretched arms are there, and I want you to flee to me. But you were stubborn, and you would not. That could describe some of us here. Some of us who perhaps, like I said, man, you've been in church all your life, but you've never come to Christ. God says, here am I. Outstretched arms, come to me in faith. And whoever calls upon me, I will save. You could sit here this morning and still unconverted.
I would dare say in a group this size, there's 2, 3, 4, 5 who are yet unconverted. Nice people. Oh, very nice people. I mean, I've never felt in danger of my life up here this morning. I've never felt as though I've got a duck because you're going to throw something at me. You're super people. Very nice. Love your smiles. But you still don't know Christ. And the gospel is, whoever calls on His name will be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Listen, wouldn't it be wonderful? People of God, wouldn't it be great if someone here this morning would have dealings with God, call upon Him, believe in Him, and walk out of here like Spurgeon walked out of that day, on that snowy day, ready to sing enthusiastically about the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ stands ready to save all who call upon Him. He will cast you not away. Will you go on in your unbelief? That's what Paul's dealing with here with the Jews. They're stubborn people. I'm still going to get to heaven my way. I'm still going to get to heaven in my righteousness. No, you're not. Come to Christ. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, how we would pray for any who may be among us who know You not. Father, open their eyes. They've heard the Word. They know what the Word says. May they flee to You in genuine faith, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would You save sinners among us? Only You can do that work. We've sought to plant and water the seed, but come now and give an increase. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your outstretched arms that drew us in. And Father, help us not to be a stubborn and obstinate people. And those of us who know You, may we rejoice in Your gospel. And may we long to see it proclaimed. Father, how we pray that You might bless every effort that we have of sharing the gospel to the end, that even our loved ones, folks that we come in contact with at work, opportunities of ministry around the community would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give You the glory as we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.